a differentiated theory of the subject of Marasayan. So again, the typical understanding of Marasayan is challenged greatly by the fact pattern that we saw yesterday, and I'm going to try to put the Makke Bepatish in the Mahalich today. So if we understand Marasayan in the typical sense, what that means is that this isn't actually the underlying Isser, but it's sufficiently similar so as to proscribe it, to render this behavior Usser. Again, the underlying behavior could be Usser, Mitam Minhag, Mitam Ikar Hadin, whatever it is, but this is implicates that action, and therefore we're going to deem it Usser. And once we deem it Usser, so it takes on a Chalos Shem Isser of Maras Ayin, and therefore Bechadre Chadarim, it's still Usser. Okay, we've stigmatized this action. Now, there are different ways, as we said yesterday, of trying to explain that in terms of, you know, why would Chazal have such a concept? The Torah already has an analog of this. Avi, what's on the Torah level? We didn't mention it yesterday, but on the Torah level, if you were coming up to these parshios, literally right now, on the Torah level, where do you see an indication that there's actually halachic value associated with this? Right, that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, V'yisem Nikiyim, Hashem, Umi Yisrael. Right, so that there's an obligation not just to be doing the right thing, God knows, but it has to look right to Klal Yisrael as well. An article on that subject, because in the Pshat of the Pasuk, it's not so much about Klal Yisrael, it's actually about Hashem more, that they were certainly willing to do their part vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael, but the question was, what about vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Eretz Yisrael? Not for now, but if you're interested, I'm happy to share. So that's already the Torah addressed this broader issue. But in terms of the level of Chazal, so we said there are a couple of different perspectives. One perspective might be that, again, you know, we're very concerned for communal perception. Another perspective might be that it's more about the Gavra, and we want to make sure that this individual isn't doing things that, you know, are coming pretty close up to the border of things that are not acceptable, because, you know, people have a hard time living on a boundary. People deal much better with clearer situations. All kinds of different explanations. And that's a traditional Marasayan. But whatever you say about that, the timing would have to be that whenever the Isser, underlying Isser, what we've been calling A, begins, so that's when Marasayan would begin, by definition. It's all predicated on it looking like something which is Usser. So if you already have a time lapse, so that's a very significant problem. How would that fit into the geder of Marasayan as we understand it? Second of all, if you then found an additional anomaly, namely Bechadre Chadarim Bitsina was Mutter, it wouldn't sound like Marasayan at all. So what we suggested yesterday in terms of Kibbutz for a big day Akum during this time period, where again the time lapse for Bnei Ashkenaz would be, in fact, from Rosh Chodesh to Shavua Shechalbo, doesn't start at the same time, and there's a heter of Bitsina, let alone the broader issue of, well, let's say there really is no underlying issue of Marasayan, because there's a heker, right? The Big Day Akum don't look anything like Big Day Yisrael. Leaving that aside for a second, what we try to suggest is that Marasayan is almost a melitza in this context. And what we're really suggesting is that Chazal understood that Kibbutz was objectionable, could be Maker Hadin, could be Mitam Minag. Hey, there's some association, there's some affiliation with Simcha, and as Simcha becomes more problematic, the closer you get to Sreifas, Beis Elokeinu, Dehainu Shavua Shechalbo, our antennas go up even further, and we're willing to cut a broader swath in terms of expanding the scope of that which is prohibited, okay? But we may be equally willing to entertain the possibility that Bitsina, these things are actually permissible, because not really a classical din of Marasayan altogether, especially in light of our discussion yesterday, either for the reason that Akiva suggested, that Avelis Yeshana is particularly ripe for Heterim Bitsina, not all across the board, right? We don't want somebody, you know, who's Porish Mina Tzibor from the Tzara of the Tzibor, and he's eating a barbecue at home, and everybody else is, you know, Miss Abel Birabim, but be that as it may, right, you're not impacting the communal observance of Avelos if you're doing it Bitsina. That was Akiva's suggestion. Or my suggestion, that if the whole thing is predicated on the Minhag, right, the underlying issue is really Mitam Minhag and not fundamentally Mitam Isser, so then maybe it's subject to some of the Heterim that we find in Makom Shenagu, that, you know, if a person isn't actually doing something which is fundamentally usur, but it's sort of an expansion of that isur. Let's say, you know, or again, something which is prohibited because it's a minog. So, you know, there's a difference between one's conduct bifneihem and one's conduct bitzina in that regard. And so we cited that as a kind of a precedent. So minhag might be an important underlying reason. So that was the mahalich that we started to develop yesterday. And again, to Yenison's point in terms of his question, would you really call that marasayin? So my answer is not really. It's not really marasayin. Now again, in fairness, the Mechaber and the Ramah, right, never used that language. That language was, you know, suggested by the Taz and by the Magen Avraham, in terms of explaining what was going on here, but, it wasn't as if the Mechaber came along and used that. And I think that itself could be very significant. That might be a good raya for our direction, right? That this is actually not really Marasayin. If it was, let them come out and say so. They don't have problems saying so in countless other cases. Why shouldn't they say so here? So I think it really is a Marasayin type 2 issue, which is, looks close enough that we'd want to, you know, especially as you get into the more intensive Shavuot Shechalbo, we'd want to draw the line. So it's a theory that we suggested yesterday. I'd like to try to add to that theory with your permission now. So a related issue, again, kibbutz when it comes to ketanim, not the ketanim of the actual ones doing it, but for the gedolim on behalf of the ketanim, the Mechaber says, also the gedolim masap of the ketanim. So tisporis is on the list. That's a little bit of a debate, but it's on the list here in the Mechaber. L'chabiz ksusam b'shavua shachal tishabav liyos b'socha. The Rama, miyu begadim shem lafin b'hem ha'ketanim legamrei, shem otzien b'hem rei, right? This is the era of non-disposable diapers. Umashtinin b'hem, hani vade mishoshari. It's not really kibbutz in the traditional sense. Aveafilu b'bigdei sharaktanim noagin lahakel. Rama says, well, we'll be makel when it comes to, you know, the clothing of very young children, and certainly things like undergarments and diapers, one has the right to be makel. So what's really interesting is, once again, where's the Rama to come along and say, hold on a second, you know, we Ashkenazim, we restrict Tisporis all the way back to Shivas Arbatamos, right, Thursday this week, and in terms of Kibbutz, from Rosh Chodesh Ve'ad HaTainis. And once again, the Rama is silent on that issue, and he's comfortable in this case when it comes to kibbutz, which is being done by Gedolim of Yisrael, either for Ovdei Kochavim Mazalos and or for Ketanim of Yisrael. He's perfectly happy, apparently, to leave it in terms of Shavua Shechalvo. So the Gra jumps right on the issue, and he says, look, Be'avelos, Ramat Gedolim, Nesap L'chabes L'Ketanim, is not one of the Isurim of Avelos proper, as you find in Moed Katan, and where it says that, you know, the Ketanim have some shaychus to Avelos, it sounds like it's Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. Mekaran the Katan Mipnei Agmas Nefesh, that everybody should be impacted, everybody should have a reaction to the terrible loss. If you tear the clothes of a child, everybody becomes emotional, and rightly so. Halav Hachi Lo. So the Gra noted immediately that this appears to be, you know, a kind of a chumrah of Avelos Yeshana relative to Avelos Chadasha. He wasn't the only one to notice it. The Magen Avraham earlier had the same observation. It says, "Ketanim nami shayach bochinuch imishum Avelos imishum agmas nefesh." The Truma Sedeshin v'tzarech iyan, of course, right? Then Yerodeya the Mechaber doesn't look at it this way. Pasuk to ein Avelos leKatan v'nir li de Avelos teRabim machmirin tvei. So he says, it seems to me that Avelos teRabim were going to be more machmir. Now I might say that the term machmir here can be a little bit misleading. It's not so much of a chumrah. Practically speaking, it's a chumrah that will tell you not to do something that if it was avelos chadasha would be permissible for you to do. But I don't think about it in terms of a chumrah versus a kula. It's really just a question as to what the nature of the issue at stake here is. And again, the national catastrophe of the Jewish people did certainly include all demographics, all elements of the Jewish people. The impact is felt. And so it's sort of a natural, logical consequence of the communal nature of Avelos de Rabim and Avelos Yeshana. Likewise, the Magen Avraham, very much along these same lines, Miu Begadim, this is the Ramah saying, well, you can't take this too far, right? Let's say it's undergarments, or, you know, very young children. Mikol Makom Lo Yichabsu Har BeBiachod, that's from the Mate Moshe, Gaos Meunios. Vinili Yichabsu Betzina, Yim Ein Mechabsin Al Gabe Anar. So the Magen Avraham, all of a sudden, you know, he has heterim that sound awfully familiar, right? In terms of tzina, that this is not the kind of thing that will be overly concerned about, in private. Okay, very, I think, affirmational of what we discussed yesterday. And then he says, you know, even within the gather of the kula, lo yichabsu har b'biyachav. We don't want people to do too much at once because it's really not absolutely necessary. So again, I think that both the chumrah and the kula here of bitzina, and the chumrah, quote unquote, of har b'biyachad really speak exactly to the same point. What we're interested in doing is making sure that the tone of the Shavua Shechalbo is really maintained. The tone is hardly impacted by this fundamentally permissible action, bitzina, and the tone is particularly impacted by, you know, you have somebody that pulls up, you know, Birabim, you know, with a truckload of children's clothes and says, look, it's a diaper. Yeah, it's 50,000 diapers, but, you know, so that's going to have an impact on the communal observance. So both the Chumrah and the Kula here are pushing, I think, exactly in the same direction, right? Each one of those independent cloth diapers would be permissible, right? But the issue is, how much does this impact the sense that we're actually in Shavua Shechalbo? Now, in terms of the fundamental issue of Avelos Lekatan, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Asa Gdolim Sapa Lekatanim, Ve'ava Gavdein Avelos Lekatan, Kamosh Kasi Yerudeya, Zeo Bistam Avelos. So, Avelos Derabim, Shoz Yikaron Lechorban, Beis Kodshenu, Roy Lechanech Gam Aktanim. Interesting. V'lad Mishum, for this is basically picking up on the observation of the Magen Avraham in the Gra, V'lad Mishum Avelos Lechamira Mistam Avelos, you see here, we're in sync once again. It's not really chamira. Da'adarabah yesh dvarim shemekelinon be'avelos yeshanak d'arini vamos. Ela b'zeh yesh chinuch liras Hashem. Shakatan k'sheyeshal al ma'zeh yavinu lo inyan churban beis hamikdash. Right, it's an important conversation starter with the children. Right, v'chein ein lechabes k'susei aktanim b'shabes shachal tishav deos b'zocha uledidan meirosh chodesh. Interestingly, the Aruch HaShulchan did want to back it up to Rosh Chodesh. More on that in a second. Miu begadim shalav min aktanim legamrei, shavetzin ben rei, mishtanim behem hani vadim mishashari, filu bigdei shark tanim, noligim lahakel, viachabsu besina. You should try to do it as privately as possible. So again, he seems to, you know, back up the timeline, but that wasn't at all what you found in the Ramah. And there's no zecher to backing up the timeline to Rosh Chodesh in the earlier Achronim, the Magen Avraham, and in the Gaon as well. And the Chaya then addresses the issue frontally. And then he says, I'll take a stand on the issue of the Magen Avraham. It's not really Midin Avelos, an expanded sense of Avelos, but he thinks this is very much like the din of tearing Kriya for a Katan in regular Avelos, that it should inspire Agmas Nefesh and people around them. So actually here, you'll forgive the term, but the children are almost props for the adults, right? That it causes Agmas Nefesh to see a child walking around in less than freshly laundered clothes. Perhaps this is the Agmas Nefesh of the mothers, slightly more than the Agmas Nefesh of the fathers. The fathers might lechatchila put such a shirt on the child. Okay, but certainly the mothers would not abide by such a terrible Agmas Nefesh, okay? Mevin Yavin. So he wants to take a stand on that issue. B'Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Besocha. B'Gadim Shalav Migitanim. The Gadim Shem Etzim Reim Mishnim B'Motar. Chen Sharbi Dektanim. And he gives you a shear, 2 years old, 3 years old, fine. Mikol Makom Lo'ichabsu Harbe B'Yachad. That was the Magen Avraham. V'Nira Li D'Tzorach Tanim Ein Lach Mirafil Lefim Min Agenu. Ela b'Shabbos zo. So there you have it. Put it in bold, right? So contra the Aruch HaShulchan, a little anachronistic here. The Chayadim says, you know, walks like a duck, talks like a duck. It is duck, right? We're actually not going to tie this back in to Rosh Chodesh all together. Likewise, Mishnah Berurah, Ayin Beli Yerabah, So the Eli Rabba thought, Lididan, Yesh Lachar Tisporis Shiva Sarvatamus, Kibus Mirosh Chodesh. So we saw that echoed by the Aruch HaShulchan, Uchayodam, Kosav, Tilatarach Tanim in Lachar, Afafim in Agenu, Elabishabizo. So again, as the Mishnah Berurah is wont to do, he's not going to be Machriya, he's perfectly content giving you a range of views, and he's obviously suggesting that there's plenty of grounds to be lenient here, for those who are reading a little bit between the lines. But the consensus view, as we saw, is in fact like the Chayyadam, and that's the simple reading of the Ramah. It would have been easy for him to say, we observe these things from Rosh Chodesh and we don't. So this, to me, I think, really hammers home exactly what we said yesterday. Okay? So really, the Yisr Kibus, either Mitam Yisr or Mitam Minag, begins for Ashkenazim at Rosh Chodesh. Fine. Right? But then what we find is that there's actually a constellation of more stringent practices, Lagabe Kibus, that go into effect for Shavuot Shechalbo. And they include Kitanim, and they include Ovdei Kochavim Umazalos. And yet, they're subject to very similar heterim. Bitsina, or if this really isn't classical Kibus, because it's the begadim that become stained, or it's, you know, clearly big deakum. So to me, this is very suggestive, again, especially in light of the fact that the Mechaber and the Ramah never used the words marasayin when it came to these matters entirely, right? That what we were trying to do is demonstrate heightened sensitivity towards the character of the Shavua Shechalbo, when the Avelos becomes that much more intense. The need for Agmas Nefesh, right? The spiritual response of Agmas Nefesh is entirely appropriate when you're dealing with base Elokeinu. So it strikes me as part of the same rubric of halachos, Big Day Ketanim and Big Day Akum. We'll draw the line internally in reasonable places. Bitsina, Begadim Hanikarim, Begadim Sholtsoa, Rei, all of these things are reasonable, very highly reasonable kulos within this perspective. But to me, it's almost inescapable that we have to conceptualize the Shavua Shechalbo, right, issues of Big Day Akum and Big Day Ketanim together. Now, if you're the Eli Rabba, or you're the Aruch HaShulchan on this side of the issue, so they'll say, maybe not. Maybe whenever you think Kibbutz begins, so we'll have the expansive definition of Kibbutz from moment number one. But for us, I think it's pretty clear that that's a minority. And in fact, you know, the words of the Ramah, I think, are pretty unmistakable, what he says, both what he says and what he doesn't say. And that what we have here isn't really any kind of a classical marasayin. It's really about a sensitivity to the character of the days. And if I had to pick one quote-unquote chumra that I think stands out pretty dramatically, it's harbe b'makom echad. Because what's that really about? So to reiterate, you could have 1,000 undershirts, right? You could be tasked by the community with washing all of the children's clothing. And there'd be nothing wrong with each independent act of washing. Each one, we can trace it. We've done the contact tracing. We know the child that undershirt goes with. We know the child that can be paired with that diaper. Their mother wrote it in marker 4 times in 6 different places. Ironed on the labels. Okay, she was taking no chances whatsoever that any other child, especially some kid with lice, could possibly get this. You know, it's all mutter, but it's all aser. Because when you got, you know, 1,000 of them, so, you know, people are like, there's no more 9 days. There's no more Shavua Shechalbo. You know, he's out here, you know, send her the launder. And he's, you know, just conducting himself as if this is something like, you know, of a normal activity. And that's the issue. It compromises the the dire need that we have, you know, la'or halavavos siftach darchei tshuva, and you know, there he is minding his own business, going through a stack of a thousand. So again, if it's bitzina, then we've got no problem with it. Internally, I just want to reiterate, I do find it very interesting that the Magen Avraham was not machria why ketanim should be included here, whether it was mitam avelos derabim, and sort of just, you know, it impacts them. The Aruch HaShulchan was very definitive that he thought it was an educational issue. Kidei sheyavinim, you know, yiras Hashem, that they should be involved. But Chai Adam was equally conclusive that it had nothing to do with avelos per se. It's agmas nefesh. So it's not, again, the children are being subjected to these things, kaviyachol, for the sake of the tzibur, for the sake of the rabbim, so that the rabbim should have a state of agmas nefesh. So in the end of the day, you have very different approaches. The Magen Avraham was open to both of them, and he was not machria. The Aruch HaShulchan really thinks it's about the benefit of the children. It's about the children. It's always about the children, their education, their sensitivity, their yirat shamayim, right? Making sure that they are a part of this as well. And that's uniquely important in terms of, you know, tzaras harabim. The chayadam, not so much, really, for the community. It's like kriya with respect to avelis chadasha by a katan. So we do have a very important, I think a significant sub-machlokas about the inclusion of children and how much this is about the gdolim and how much is this really about the ketanim. I think that's a very, very important issue. Again, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan's presentation is almost like manishtana halayla hazeh, that the kid is going to ask their parents, hey, you know, why are you putting on this, you know, piece of, you know, this stained shirt? You know, none of this would have worked with me. You know, I spent like the better part of my elementary school years disputing, you know, whether there's a grass stain should be ma'akev on my pants in terms of going to school. I don't know if that concept existed in your days, but the relevant authority in my household took a stringent position on grass stains that were accumulated over many years of recess football. And my view is that, first of all, it certainly shouldn't be ma'akev, but I didn't see whether there should be even b'di'evit associated with it. It's, if anything, it's a hecker that a person is involved in recess football. What could probably, what possibly be wrong with that? So, again, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan, I guess the children of Nevarduk were like asking questions. They're saying like, why are you giving me a grass-stained shirt? And then, you know, it provides you the opportunity to swoop in with a grass-stained shirt is appropriate for Bein HaMitzarim, you know. Ki shoked ani al dvari lasoso. Again, it takes a precocious child, or maybe just a girl. But the point is that, the Aruch HaShulchan is very keyed in on the children, and the Chayadim disagrees. Chayadim says, well, this practice actually is really about the heightened agmas nefesh that one should have in terms of Shavua Shechalbo. So I think this is, again, very, very clear indication. So let's just review the four basic indications that we don't have a standard din of Marasayan. Number one, the time lapse. If it's really about Marasayan, when whatever it becomes Aser, whatever the grounds of that Isser are, Isser and Minag, that's when the Marasayan should start, right? And we haven't found that, neither with respect to Big Day Akum or Big Day Ketanim, point number one. Point number two, the Mechaber and the Rama never actually used the title language of Marasayan. Great authorities did, not to diminish the Taz, the Magen Avraham, you know, that is a striking omission in its own right. Right? Kol Shasar Mishum Marasayan, Afilu Bechadre Chadarim, is in fact Aser. And here, everybody seems to agree that Bitsina, there is going to be a Heter. Number three. And number four, like we said, it's not just Big Day Akum, but it appears just, you know, out of nowhere that Big Day Ketanim, right, happened to become Asur at exactly the same time. Bekibus. Seems to me it's much more a din in Kavisa than it's a din in Marasayan. We just define Kavisa more broadly in Shavuot Shechalbo than we would during the days between Rosh Chodesh Av and the Tainus. So we've expanded our definition to encompass things that otherwise would not have been problematic. And just to, you know, conclude with the observation, it's like the Mishnah says, Mishnechlas Av Mima'atin. Mima'atin is on a spectrum. So anytime a person tells you, you know, moderate a little bit, cut it a little bit back, so, you know, that's a relative term. So we try to objectify an halacha, right? Binin shel simcha, netiel shel simcha, but at the end of the day, mima'atin means mima'atin. So you do less of something. So as a person, you know, normally, you know, has, I'm just, you know, again, making this up, but, you know, they had normally have a three-course meal, so they should have a two-course meal. That's what mima'atin means. The person normally has a two-course, so they have a one-course. So there's a miut, there's a spectrum. So if that's true, right, so you find maybe a similar phenomenon with respect to other practices. So we're mima'atin bekibus, we do even less, right, whether it's Big Day Akum, whether it's Big Day Ketan. You might call that Marasayan, but I'm not convinced that it's a classical presentation of Maris Ayin, and we've tried to make the best case that we can over the last 2 days. Go ahead.